This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
The demands of being House Speaker are huge in terms of fundraising, travel, and overall stress. Speaker Paul Ryan says he's had enough.
Much work remains, but I like to think I have done my part, my little part in history, to set us on a better course.
A source familiar says Ryan made the final decision with his wife, Jana, over Easter recess, and that as recently as February, Ryan considered running for another term. The speaker told his staff early this morning and received a standing ovation from his team. Ryan told his Republican colleagues and reporters family was a key consideration.
What I realize is, if I am here for one more term, my kids will only have ever known me as a weekend dad. I just can't let that happen.
Ryan also spoke by phone first thing this morning with his House GOP leadership team, Vice President Pence and President Trump. The president saluted Ryan's service on Twitter, calling Ryan a truly good man who will leave an unquestionable legacy of achievement. Among the challenges for Ryan, a vocal bloc of House conservatives who challenged his leadership, a negotiating partner in the president who at times could be unpredictable. The president threatened to veto a $1.3 trillion spending package that he once embraced. Another frustration was campaigning for years on repealing and replacing Obamacare and the Senate coming up short. The Senate Majority Leader noted Ryan didn't aspire to be Speaker.
Like a true leader, Paul stepped up to the plate. He answers his colleagues' call with exactly the earnest, selfless, and focused approach that has defined his entire career in Congress.
Top Democrats sang his praises, too.
Speaker Ryan's a good man. He's always true to his word. Even though we disagreed on most issues, in the areas where we could work together, I found him to be smart, thoughtful, and straightforward. I found him to have a great deal of integrity.
Yeah. A major highlight for the policy wonk was the first tax reform in more than 30 years. And his colleagues say there is still time.
I think Paul's going to be anything but lame duck. I think we're going to be able to get a few more things done while he's here.
In terms of what's next for the 48-year-old Ryan, sources close to him say he's not going to be having conversations with anyone about that until January.
Well, Paul Ryan made the announcement. It was one that we knew that was coming. You think of the talent and what he meant to the Republican Party. I know there's some that are saying, we need to get some fresh blood in there and new leadership. He was a reluctant leader, so to speak, but I think the way he picked up the reins after John Boehner's departure was well needed, and he did a great job in kind of pulling things together. Don't get so nervous. I mean, you know, you hear the mainstream media attacking this and thinking, well, you know, what is going on with the Republican Party? You know, this is, you know, representative of the GOP dysfunction that they would lose a leader like this. And it really says a lot about the GOP, I think, from a standpoint that, they've got plenty of people. You know, the bench is very deep, you know, in much the same way that we saw what happened leading into the 2016 presidential election. You had 17, you know, candidates running for president that were all very able and capable, for that matter, with very, very minor exception, you could argue, and compared to what the Democrats had on their side. So, I would say not to worry, but I also think that this is a time for the GOP to rethink its position and how it wants to come alongside, you know, this president and what he's been able to do. Again, my question to them is, what do you think life would have been with a Democrat in the Oval Office if Hillary Clinton was there? Do you think you would have been able to accomplish what you've been able to do? You know, you mentioned tax reform already. Nancy Pelosi, before she's got her hand on the gavel, you know, she's already telling everybody, those tax cuts that you got, you can say bye-bye to them, and we're back into the age of big government. You know, even Bill Clinton realized at one point in his administration that the era of big government was over. Well, the Democrats are back. They're never going away, and they're going to continue to pull forward on big government ideas.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe, and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, you know, a lot of discussion about China. You know, are they playing fair? I think most people would agree that they have not been. They've been getting away with all kinds of stuff, you know, at every turn, whether it has to do with trade deficits, intellectual property, and on and on. Our next guest is going to be talking about China's great wall of debt, the shadow banks, ghost cities, massive loans, and the end of the Chinese miracle. Is that possible? Denny McMahon spent 10 years as a financial journalist in China, including 6 years in Beijing at the Wall Street Journal and 4 years with Dow Jones Newswires in Shanghai, where he contributed to the Far Eastern Economic Review. So he's been there, done it, bought the T-shirt probably more than once. Right, Denny?
That's right.
Hey, well, thank you so much for coming on to, talk about all things China and bring us up to date here regarding China's great wall of debt. People might in this country be surprised when they hear China's great wall of debt. Break that down for us.
No, absolutely. I mean, certainly from the outside, China's economy looks like a juggernaut, a behemoth. It's been going from strength to strength for 3 decades. Mm-hmm. And I think globally, the general assumption is that within a very short period of time, China will become the world's biggest economy and might even challenge the United States in terms of for the role of the global power. But when you're kind of up close and you actually can look under the hood and see how this economy works, things are certainly not as rosy. The advantage I had as being a journalist in China is I could see the degree of waste and excess and risk-taking and debt accumulating very rapidly on a huge scale in China. And it's now got to a point where it genuinely threatens both the stability of the financial system and the stability of this economic juggernaut.
Mm-hmm. Are they putting themselves in a position here, where they cannot come back? Like you say, they're compromised. It would, based on what you're telling us and other things I've read, that they seem compromised. Their foundation is cracking a bit. If there's any pressure on this, what's going to happen to them?
What the actual outcome will be is hard to say. I think conceivably China could have a financial crisis. Certainly the leaders in Beijing are aware of the possibility, and over the last year they've really started to try and reform the financial system, but we're in very, very early stages at the moment. It could experience a recession. It could experience something like Japan, which had a lost decade of and next to no growth. Or it could just simply, the pace of growth could simply slow significantly. So last year, China's economy grew at 6.9%, which is still an incredible pace. Mm-hmm. But if China managed to grow, if it only grew at 2%, for example, then everything that we expect of China goes out the window. The United States is currently growing at 2%. So if China's growing as fast as the U.S., it's not catching up. It's treading water.
Exactly.
Sorry.
No, go ahead and finish your thought here, and then I'll interject. Go ahead.
you are completely right. We're looking at the foundations of this miracle are fracturing, partly because they've built this economic growth model around the rapid accumulation of debt, which cannot continue. And secondly, it's facing these other economic challenges, which it's going to struggle even more to deal with, such as China is no longer a cheap place to manufacture goods anymore. And the other big thing is that its population is rapidly aging, and its working age population is falling. This is sort of all the direct fallout from the one-child policy.
Exactly.
China's looking at this position where it will grow old before it grows rich, and if that happens, it'll be much, much more difficult to actually grow rich.
So some of the heretofore advantages they've had regarding the price of labor and so on may go out the door, and then you bring Donald Trump's trade tariffs into play. What does that do?
Yeah, well, I think with the trade tariffs, what we're seeing from the president at the moment is very much the first salvo. I think, you know, we're going to see these trade tensions go on for quite some time, largely because what the U.S. is trying to do is change China's behavior, to sort of wean them off protectionism while sort of minimizing the harm to the U.S. economy. So, I mean, there was a report in the Wall Street Journal today that, you know, the U.S. and China are sort of coming to the table to try and work out some sort of solution. But I really think that the U.S. is probably going to have to apply pressure indefinitely on China because, you know, the protectionist tendencies that are baked into the Chinese economy are so well ingrained that it's going to take a long time to unravel them. And what I mean by that is typically as outsiders, we kind of assume that the way China is run is that Beijing is all powerful and that whatever the central government in Beijing says gets carried out throughout the rest of the economy. And that is not how it works at all. The USTR, the U.S. Trade Representative Office, actually said this a couple of years ago. It kind of doubted the ability of Beijing to be able to impose its own industrial policy on the rest of the country. And that's because every level of government in China, whether it be state-owned companies or the provinces or the cities, have an incredible amount of discretion over how they run the economy in their local areas. And they all engage in some sort of protectionism at their local level, whether that's
exactly.
Subsidies, whether it be administrative ways to protect their local companies, or is it sort of cash handouts to help their own companies buy up technology abroad. And so that's why it's going to be so difficult and such a prolonged process, because we can negotiate with Beijing all we want, but for Beijing to then be able to impose discipline on the rest of the country, that is going to take time and effort.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, you bring up an excellent point. But I also wonder at the same time, Denny, does the United States, are they perceiving China's vulnerability here?
You know, I don't think they are. But I think at the moment the U.S. priority is, so if I can take a step back, I think the biggest challenge to the U.S. at the moment is not necessarily China's vulnerability. But it is the techniques China hopes to use to be able to avoid an economic reckoning. Now, what I mean by that is that the leaders in Beijing are very clear of the challenges that they face. They realize they have to change the economic model, and they've laid out a vision for how they're going to change. And that vision is about moving into more high-tech, more technologically advanced industry. They know that they've got problems with the way the industry currently works. They know they've got too many steel mills. They know they produce way more aluminium than their economy will ever produce, ever actually need. And so it's like, okay, the existing industries are suffering overcapacity from everything from steel to paper to solar panels. Mm-hmm. So we need to move up the value chain. But the problem with that is the way that you force march an economy into more technologically advanced industries is with subsidies, is with cash handouts, is with
right.
the same sort of protectionist techniques that China has applied to steel to become the global behemoth in steel.
Right.
At the same time, these are the industries that places like the United States and even Japan and the European Union, they see their economic future as being in these more technologically advanced industries like robotics, like semiconductors, and like electric vehicles. And so if China tries to muscle in on these sort of industries, I think these that sort of potentially poses a bigger challenge to the rest of the world at the moment, particularly in this environment where, you know, the rest of the world isn't willing to put
exactly
up Chinese protectionism like they used to.
We got to go to break. We'll be right back with Denny McMay and more from him on China's Great Wall of Debt right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security, maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven.
PrestoRadusLive.com.
As we celebrate Holy Week here across this country, welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Denny McMahon is with us. Spent 10 years as a financial journalist in China, including 6 years in Beijing. And he's revealing, some interesting facts about China's great wall of debt. You know, Denny, to hear you talk, it's kind of interesting and maybe even ironic that you hear China almost following the way of the West and the very criticisms they have for America. It's like, well, you're pointing fingers at us, but you got three coming back at you.
Yeah, it's incredible that you say that, Bill, because I remember being in Beijing in the wake of the global financial crisis. Certainly among Chinese leaders, there was this sense of real Schadenfreude that the U.S. had racked up and Europe had racked up all this debt, and they'd been lecturing China for years about how China should run its own economy. And lo and behold, the whole sort of Western system had fallen apart, and China was the strongest economy standing. But one of the reasons that China was the strongest economy standing is that it launched a massive stimulus program in response to the global financial crisis. But that stimulus was very different from the sort of stimuluses in other places like the US. So in most of the world, it was the central or the federal government that borrowed money and sort of started spending. In China, what they did, the central government didn't really do that. Instead, it told the banks to start lending significantly more money, which is something you can do in a communist country where, most of the banks are owned by the government. You just sort of give them the instruction to lend more and they sort of jump too. They had this situation where the banks massively ramped up their lending in 2009 to sort of support economic growth. And the reality is it never really stopped. Just year on year, you have this rapid accumulation of debt to a point where, today, in absolute terms, China's outstanding, the debt in China's financial system is, relative to the size of the economy, is probably a little bit bigger than that of the United States. But the real issue is the pace at which it has accumulated. Wow. Because when debt racks up this quickly and on this scale, it's difficult to find places productive to actually invest it. And, you get a whole lot of financial risks building. And almost invariably, in almost every other country that has experienced a comparably fast, comparably big build-up in debt, it's resulted in some sort of financial crisis, such as in the United States prior to the subprime crisis.
Exactly.
Or in Spain prior to the Eurozone crisis, or Thailand prior to the Asian financial crisis, or Japan prior to the lost decade. And so we're in this situation now where China has racked up so much debt so quickly, and the economic model, its growth, is so dependent on this rapid accumulation that it's posing a real threat to stability if things continue the way they are.
Exactly. Well, interesting that you would have, the government, Beijing, saying, to the banks, lend more money. Of course, here in the United States, Barack Obama told the feds, we'll just print up more money. And so, infuse $6 trillion of paper money, and sooner or later, we're going to have to pay for that, right?
Well, in China, the problem is even worse than that. If you look at the accumulation of new money, the printing of new money, and clearly the United States isn't the only place that's done this. Europe did the same thing, printed a huge amount of money. Japan, the same. But if you add all the new money created since 2008 in the United States, plus what was printed in Europe, plus what was printed in Japan, it still is nowhere near the volume of new money created in China over that period.
Really?
And so you get this situation in China where you kind of have bubbles appearing everywhere. The property prices in China are absolutely crazy. The government is constantly trying to micromanage the property market because it's such a big contributor to growth. Building new apartment buildings, construction work, it's great for growth. Mm. So they're constantly trying to make sure that prices don't collapse and sort of trying to keep them buoyant. And then you get, had a stock market bubble a few years ago, which popped. And you kind of get all sorts of tiny little asset bubbles all around the country, things like, you know, aged wine and arts and antiques. And the reason is because there is so much money and just nowhere to invest it. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, if we think the United States faces issues because of all the money it created, the problem in China is an order of magnitude greater.
That's amazing. And as you mentioned, you know, here are these communities they've been building up to stimulate their economy, but nobody's living in them.
Oh, I know. These
ghost cities, right?
Yeah, the phenomenon of ghost cities is quite amazing. I mean, it kind of takes the idea of a ghost town and turns it on its head. So, I mean, ghost towns of California and Colorado are sort of dotted with them. Mm-hmm. Places that sprung up overnight with gold rushes and then hollowed out just as quickly when the gold ran out. But these ghost cities in China, well, firstly, they're an order of magnitude bigger. I mean, these are proper freestanding cities, mm-hmm. but they were built from scratch and they never attracted in the first place anywhere near the scale of the population that they were actually built for. And so there was one particular ghost city I visited a number of times. It was up in China's northeast, in a city called Jieling in Liaoning province. And this, it could have been one of the most beautiful cities I'd actually visited in China. It had this lovely man-made lake, these canals that ran through the city, these very nicely designed government buildings and office towers and two high schools, a hospital, a tennis center, a water park, and there's just row after row of apartment buildings. But the thing is, this thing was built not for people, it was built for economic growth. So to give you an insight into sort of the dynamic that sort of creates this sort of waste, local officials in China, their success is measured by the extent to which they can stimulate economic growth. But then you've kind of got these mayors who are only in the job for a term of 5 years. And more often than not, they get moved on to the next thing after 3 or 4 years. And so the question is, how are they supposed to prove themselves? How are they supposed to, you know, increase economic growth in such a short period of time? And the answer is, what they do is they borrow money and then they build something. And it's that construction work that immediately contributes to economic growth in the short term. But the debt isn't their problem.
Exactly. They're gone before it needs to be paid. It's a great gig if you can get away with it. So if you're any kind of a consumer and you're looking for a place to rent, and you go in and you're looking for an apartment, they might even offer you the entire floor because it's vacant, right?
That's exactly. I've seen that time and time again. I've seen in certain parts of the country, you get two apartments for the price of one. You know, if you buy a shop front, they'll give you a villa. I've been to one place that, you know, if you bought an apartment, they'd give you a free car and free wedding photo. So, you know, the reason they do that is because they don't want to see prices fall. You know,
right.
Local government officials, they want the official, data for housing prices. They want it to always keep rising. And so they fudge it. They sort of do things like, well, you know, if we give you two apartments, then we only really record the price of the first one. You know, the other one, the second one doesn't affect.
Exactly. Yeah, at this point, it's easy to hide, I guess. Well, what about, all this being done in the midst of an environment where people are still having a hard time breathing?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's actually one of the reasons my wife and I left. We always promised ourselves that when we started a family, we'd get out. And so we now have a young son, and we're pretty happy with the move. China's environment has really taken a toll from all this growth. The thing that probably gets the most coverage is the air pollution, because
yes.
it's the thing you notice the first. I mean, you get off the plane in Beijing and you can taste the air.
Wow.
But it's not just air. I mean, China has massive water pollution and water supply problems.
Wow.
It has huge soil pollution problems. A big, I might get the number slightly wrong, but I know there was a survey a few years ago which found that something like, I think it was 12% of
wow.
China's arable land is heavily contaminated.
That's incredible.
Really not
well, Denny,
smart.
We got to leave it right there. We're out of
money, 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 money. You got to have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan?
Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I want to go. Oh, I want to go home.
Bill Martinez, live.
I'm in your open heart.
It's all about balance, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you can be so... you know, heavenly minded, you're not earthly good, as they say, you know. So, yes, we are aliens here in this foreign land as we continue to progress forward. Welcome aboard. Good to have you with us as we continue to pursue the truth and the higher callings that awaits us all. Thank you so much. It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. And we're going to talk about hurricanes and wildfires, how they wreaked havoc on the operations of many U.S. middle market companies this past fall, but new research shows that far more threatening and difficult to weather are strategic disruptions, which could include immigration and trade policies now being decided in the nation's capital. Think about it. National Center for the Middle Markets, a new special report called Risk and Resilience in the Middle Market, finds that strategic disruptions such as industry consolidation, changing regulations, new technology, trade agreements and macroeconomic trends are the most prevalent, costly, and difficult for companies to recover from. They're also the risks that businesses are least prepared to handle. Now, did you know 23% of companies polled had not recovered fully from an operational disruption experienced within the past 24 months? That number rose to 60% for middle market businesses that endured a strategic disruption, and 14% had not recovered at all. Here to tell us all about it is Thomas Stewart, Executive Director of the National Center for Middle Market. Thomas, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm fine, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about this risk and resilience in the middle market special report that has come up.
I'm glad to be here, and it is a really significant topic. I, as you said in your lead, Edwin, when most executives think about risk, they may think about cybersecurity, and they should, and they may think about operational risks, a fire, a strike, a port closure, a natural disaster. Mm-hmm. But the strategic risks are the ones that actually are the hardest to get a handle on and that hurt companies the most. And that was kind of a surprise when we set out to survey. We surveyed 1,000 companies and asked them about the risks that they faced. And the prevalence and the wallop from strategic risks really stands out as being a big one.
As you say, one in four middle market companies believe that strategic risk is the most damaging and takes the longest to recover from. And this comes from companies that have experienced a strategic risk because it just seems like it comes out of nowhere, does it not?
Well, it seems like it in many cases, but of course in many cases it comes out of nowhere because you weren't looking. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you think about these strategic risks, and 27% of companies say in the last 2 years they got hit by something like this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a boneheaded mistake that you made, like an acquisition that you shouldn't have made, a really dumb move, a product diversification, or some other dumb move that you made. So it could be your own fault. It could be a technology risk. I mean, thousands and thousands of retailers right now who are struggling to deal with the consequences of e-commerce, the internet, and Amazon on their businesses. Or you think about Lyft and Uber and how they've affected rent-a-cars. Even parking garages have been affected by that. So it could be that kind of risk. It could be a policy risk. I mean, a change in policy. And again, remember, risks can be good or they can be bad. So, mm-hmm. A change in trade policy can raise my costs or lower my costs. It can raise my complexity or lower my complexity. And similarly with other kinds of policy issues. Generally speaking, these things, the boneheaded mistakes, that's your own darn fault, but in many cases these strategic risks happen because people are so busy nose to the grindstone, focusing on what's happening day to day in their business. They're not picking their head up and saying,
right,
"Gee, what's out there?"
That exactly.
Reshuffle the deck or change the game so that I have to rethink my strategy.
Well, you know, what you bring up here right now really opens up the mind, Thomas, especially for guys like me. I've always been a big picture kind of guy, and I look at strategy beyond the horizon. And you're always looking for those waves of energy, those trends that are starting to evolve here. And let's face it, the marketplace we live in today, much different than when you and I grew up. It's a lot more dynamic. So the strategy that needs to be employed, needs to be, I want to say, it's of more importance today because of how dynamic the marketplace is it not?
You know, one of the things that's really interesting, it is, you're right, absolutely right. When I was at Harvard Business Review many years ago, I did an interview with Jeff Bezos at Amazon. And one of the things he said that was really interesting, he said, when we do strategy at Amazon, we start by asking what won't change. Just because so much is changing.
That's a good question.
Saying, but wait a minute, what are the things we know won't change? And in his case, he said, customers will prefer lower quality and faster service. We know that, right? So the means of getting there are going to be different, but what are we going to do? So you really do want to get that combination. What are my pillars? What are the things that I'm really good at that I can defend? And where do I need to make sure that I'm defending those things? But as you said, getting your head up out of the spreadsheets, out of the PowerPoint, out there talking to your competitors, talking to your customers, and looking around at changes and, you know, how are customers changing? How are markets changing? What's the impact of globalization on my business? What's the impact of baby boomer retirements on my business? Where am I going to get my talent, in tomorrow's workforce? How's it? These are issues that, don't show up on a spreadsheet, but boy, they show up. If you don't look at them, they are going to show up, and they're going to really affect your business for good or for ill as you go forward. So,
exactly.
Sharpening reconnaissance is critical.
Well, you know, today we're talking about potential trade. You know, the media is quick to call it a trade war. But, you know, we got a reshuffling of the deck regarding, you know, our trade deficit that's happening in this country. This is going to have an effect. Facebook is on the Hill. They're talking about social media, the social media impact that this could have on businesses today. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts that seem to be, you know, the tectonic shift. There could be a tectonic shift here happening very shortly here with all these moving parts.
What? Or multiple tectonic shifts. You know,
yeah.
If you think about, just to take that Facebook piece in a little bit, if you think about some of the ways in which social media have changed marketing, and they've changed the advantages big companies used to have. They could buy an ad on primetime TV. That advantage is less important now than your ability to be able to target customers in a more sophisticated way. So that's a big tectonic shift that can help mid-sized and smaller companies compete more effectively, because they don't need a primetime TV ad if they can actually change, if they can do their marketing this way. So these are the kinds of changes that people need to be aware of. And that remember, the flip side of risk is opportunity. And so when we think about risk and resilience in the middle market, we think about how do you see these things so that you can duck the punches that are coming at you, but also so that you can land punches that you might not otherwise have been able to do.
Thomas, what else can people do, businesses particularly, to prepare for strategic disruptions like, you know, like we've been saying, the ones that are right on the horizon that we can see, whether it has to do with social media or trade agreements?
When we did this research with at the National Center for the Middle Market, we sort of thought that there are three things that you can do for any kind of risk, strategic, operational, digital. One is improving your reconnaissance. I mean, just getting better awareness of what might happen. Secondly is strengthening your resilience. So have you got the right financial cushions? Have you got backup plans so that you can take a licking and keep on ticking? And the third is, have you got recovery plans already in place for things that you think you might hit, so that you don't have to make it up in the heat of the thing, so that you actually have, this is the fire drill, and running these fire drills. So reconnaissance, resilience, recovery. Those are ways that companies can get a better handle on risk.
Three very, very powerful R's. What about where they can go for more information, Thomas?
You go to our website, which is middlemarketcenter.org. It's middlemarketcenter.org.
Thomas Stewart, Executive Director of the National Center for the Middle Market. Thank you so much for being with us, Thomas. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
For professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know, Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placement. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Subliminal messaging here. You know, you hear that and all of a sudden your taste buds open up for popcorn. I don't know what it's all about, but the movie guy will tell us more about it. Okay, well, we could have let it play through. I was making room for the big voice to come in so that we would get it right. You know, Steve Evans, direct from Hollywood. You know, well, I can tell you, Brad has really been working hard at it, and he was so excited. He goes, today we're going to do this. I'm going to get the intro. I've got it down. It's going to happen just right. And then, of course, I throw a little curveball on him because I, you know, being the old disc jockey that I was, you know, it still comes out of me. I hear music, and I hear an opening, and I think, yeah, exactly. You remember those days. So, well, here it is, live from Hollywood, the one and only. Yes, the movie guy, Steve-O Evans, is with us.
That's what we do.
Yes, we do. We just keep on moving forward because that's what show business folk do. Hey, A Quiet Place, boy, topped expectations, huh?
Wow, what a weekend for A Quiet Place. I mean, we were thinking this movie is going to make about $30 million or so. It went on to make over $50 million, another $21 million overseas. And it looks like a big hit for John Krasinski. The real good news is this movie only cost like $17 million to make. So they're high-fiving over at Paramount Pictures. This is good news for them. And it's a great
movie. Yeah, but you know when you think about 17 and then when they spent another $25 million in advertising.
Right.
Wow, I mean, it's amazing that I remember back in the days when you were looking about, you know, $3 million, you know, you could hit all the markets. Now it's $25 million, and then don't forget we've got international import as well, right?
Yes, it all works if the money, if the movie works, right?
And yeah,
money.
Exactly.
That's what's happening here. And this movie is essentially very light on the dialogue because it's about a family that is hunted by creatures who hunt by sound. If they make any noise, they're going to be attacked, and that ain't pretty. So theoretically, it should be a perfect movie for overseas because if you something, it will be the same if you're watching in Spain or Germany or wherever. So they expect the movie to make about $250 million when all is said and done.
Yeah, you don't need a lot of subtitling if you have a music with a limited amount of conversation.
Quiet Place. That's it.
For a reason, exactly. Yeah, that's why we don't have talk shows that are a quiet place either because that could be interesting, huh? But your imaginations would really run amok.
That would be a very brief experiment. All right, Ready Player One. That was number two. We had Blockers number three, Black Panther number four, and Acrimony rounding out the top five. I had a chance to see Chappaquiddick,
which is a very interesting movie. It isn't doing well. I think the reason is that, you know, this has been 50 years, and a lot of people aren't even familiar with what happened there. But it's one of those very complex character studies about Ted Kennedy, what happened on that weekend. It was the weekend of the moon landing, which was the crowning achievement of the Kennedy administration. This happened. A lot of people say this was the end of Camelot. It is a very haunting movie. Jason Clarke does a tremendous job playing Ted Kennedy. You probably won't see it in the theater, but you will see it on video, and I'd love to know what you think when you do.
Well, actually, I already saw it. I was able to get,
really?
I saw it early. Yeah, they were kind enough to send me a producer's link, and I really appreciate when the studios do that because, you know, Steve, we're so doggone busy, it's hard to get to the theater as much as we'd love to.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a chance to get a preview of it. And you're right. I think that it holds to the facts. I mean, I thought it was balanced in its approach.
Yeah,
and I spoke with one of the producers, Mark Ciardi, and as we discussed it, I said, you took the legal record and you put it on film. It was long on facts as much as they could bring them to bear. And very, very short on any kind of conspiracy. Somebody else would have gotten this movie and got a hold of it and really went on the wild side and let the theories fly around. Because even, you know, in how they presented, you know, Ted Kennedy going off with Mary Jo Kopechne, there is still a lot of conspiracy abounding there as to did they or did they not have some sort of relationship. And also, when you get six guys and six gals on Chappaquiddick without wives or significant others, it's just, you know, here's the pool of six secretaries that were involved in, the Bobby Kennedy campaign. And, and they were coming together to obviously do some strategy about Ted Kennedy's political future. It smacks of some, you know, stuff that was a little bit more than what the movie wanted to get into, I think.
Well, and I think you're right. They did try to stick to the facts. And I think what is really interesting, or at least to me, was the ending of the film and the choices he made and the decision to carry on knowing exactly what had happened. I mean, that... when you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's one of those very complex character studies that I love. Anyway, so that's Chappaquiddick.
Well, yeah, I think people are going to come away, and the people that love Ted Kennedy and are enamored with the Kennedy family, in light of 50 years of history and how that family has been devastated, all the different, deaths and, that have occurred in that family and the tragedies, I mean, it's just like, wow, is this family doomed or what? And then it's still amazing that even after that, that Ted Kennedy was able to still maintain his senatorial position and be regarded as the lion of the Senate. Some headlines have called him the cowardly lion of the Senate. And, of course, this brought to mind, again, one of those things that, maybe one of the storylines a lot of people would just like to forget. And maybe that's
sure
part of
the
response.
That's true. But it's, he did carry on, and then there was that whole scene toward the end where he makes the decision to do so. He got a pass. There's no doubt about it. I think he got a pass because of the family and the history of the family. But the important thing, I think he knew he got a pass, and that it would be a difficult thing to live with. Anyway, you can see this is one of the movies that you can talk about for quite some time, Chappaquiddick, which will be out in the theaters for a while and then available on video.
Now, any other surprises there? Hang on one second before we move on. I know Ready Player One is doing really well internationally. This is the thing anymore, Steve-O. We talk about any of these movies. It's not only domestically, but, you know, what's happening overseas. And Ready Player One, what's something like 400 million plus now?
Yes, it's doing... Wow. Well, Ready Player One, no, it's hovering internationally. I think you're probably right. Yeah, I haven't looked up that number. It's about 100 million in this country, and it's doing incredibly well overseas. Of course, in China as well, it seems to be doing incredibly well there. Look at a movie like Black Panther. That has made $665 million in North America alone, and something like $1.3 billion worldwide. So you're right. It's an international world we live in, especially when it comes to these big movies.
Exactly. Okay, let's, what do we got coming up?
Ray-
Rampage. This is Dwayne The Rock Johnson in this one. He plays a primatologist. This is going to be the big release this weekend. It will be number one. They think it's going to make about 42. 50% of the critics are recommending this. Dwayne Johnson plays a primatologist in this movie. He's a guy who kind of keeps people at a distance and shares an unshakable bond with George, who's this extraordinarily intelligent silverback gorilla who has been in his care since birth. But then you have this rogue genetic experiment going awry. Hate it when that happens, but it often does in movies. This mutates this gentle ape into a raging creature of enormous size. I think kind of like King Kong here. Now, to make matters worse, it's soon discovered there are other similarly altered animals. And as these newly created alpha predators tear across North America, destroying everything in their path, Okoye teams with a discredited genetic engineer to secure an antidote, fighting his way through an ever-changing battlefield, not only to halt a global catastrophe, but to save the fearsome creature that was once his friend, saving George here. Recommending Rampage. Looks like a good one. It, of course,
doggone steroids, man. They do it again. You got to be careful.
Yeah, that's out this weekend. Also, Truth or Dare. This is kind of an interesting film. Only 30% of the critics are recommending, but here's what's going on. You have a harmless game of truth or dare among friends that turns deadly when someone or something begins to punish those who tell a lie or refuse the dare. We have, this is starring people basically we've never heard of. Lucy Hale, Tyler Posey's in this, 30% recommending truth or dare this weekend. And then, of course, you remember 1980, right? The summer of 1980 when Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe played Wimbledon. Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I remember that match.
Yes.
It just went on forever. It was one of the most intense tennis matches I have ever seen. There is a movie about that now. It's called Borg versus McEnroe, and we have Shia LaBeouf playing John McEnroe, which I think is perfect casting. And another person by the name of Sverrir Gugnason. I have no idea.
Boy, that's a household name, isn't it?
I'm not being Swedish. I have no idea if that's the...
Sverrir Gugnason. Gugnason, yeah. I think if you say it fast, it almost makes sense.
Sverrir Gugnason,
yeah, that's right.
He sounds like the perfect guy to play Bjorn Borg. But anyway, this is about the match. It takes place 3 days prior to the tournament. Borg is training religiously in his lavish Monaco home with his coach and his girlfriend, McEnroe. His explosive confidence and wrecking ball persona continue to infiltrate Borg's ice-cool, normally unshakable temperament. This all leads up to the big match. 80% recommending Borg versus McEnroe. Looks good.
Good be fun. You remember Ilya Anastasi, right?
Oh, yeah.
Another bad boy. And, you know, I actually did an exhibition. I played an exhibition tournament against him. He was good fun.
How did you do?
Well, you know, I didn't get hurt. I should have. Yeah, he was gentle, but we had a lot of fun. But what a character! Of course, you know, he's a different guy, kind of like McEnroe. Boy, when the intensity rises, you know, there is this other personality that comes out that is not necessarily one that you want to sit and have a beer over and, you know, just have a fun time with. You know,
really, a lot of good stuff out this weekend.
Well, I got to tell you, man, I'm telling you what to choose from here, and maybe a weekend to catch up on some of the ones that you missed. So we'll see you at the Cineplex. Large popcorn, please. I always enjoy a large popcorn. Light on the butter, though. That's what I like. Steve Evans, the movie guy, direct from Hollywood. Yes, the movie capital of the world. Steve-O, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361 for hot and cold therapy. sunny-bay.com.